Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast, Justifying Prolonged Detention Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On October 3, 2017, the Supreme Court heard re-argument in Jennings v. Rodriguez, a class-action lawsuit by aliens challenging their continued detention under civil immigration statutes without the benefit of an individualized bond hearing or a determination that otherwise justified their continued detention. After several rounds of litigation in U.S. District Court, and the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, the District Court entered a permanent injunction in favor of the alien class members. Under the injunction, the government must provide any class member who is subject to prolonged detention, 6 months or more, with a bond hearing before an immigration judge. At that hearing, the government must prove by clear and convincing evidence that the detainee is a flight risk or a danger to the community to justify the denial of bond. On subsequent appeal, the Ninth Circuit affirmed all aspects of the injunction, except with respect to aliens detained under Sections 1231A, aliens who have been ordered removed. Although the Supreme Court heard argument on the case last term, it then requested supplemental briefing on the following questions and set the case for re-argument this October. 1. Whether aliens seeking admission to the United States who are subject to mandatory detention under Title 8 of the United States Code, Sections 1225B, must be afforded bond hearings with the possibility of release into the United States if detention lasts 6 months. 2. Whether criminal or terrorist aliens who are subject to mandatory detention under Section 1226C must be afforded bond hearings with the possibility of release if detention lasts 6 months. And 3. Whether in bond hearings for aliens detained for 6 months under Sections 1225B, 1226C, or 1226A, the alien is entitled to release unless the government demonstrates by clear and convincing evidence that the alien is a flight risk or a danger to the community, whether the length of the alien's detention must be weighed in favor of release, and whether new bond hearings must be afforded automatically every 6 months. And now, to discuss the case, we have Richard Sant, Chief Counsel of the Washington Legal Foundation.
The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral argument on October 3rd in an important immigration case, Jennings v. Rodriguez. The argument confirmed what was already evident. The court is closely divided, with Justice Kennedy, as usual, holding the decisive vote. I should note that I have a strong interest in the outcome. I submitted an amicus brief in support of the federal government on behalf of 31 members of Congress. Jennings v. Rodriguez raises three issues regarding the government's authority to detain two distinct categories of aliens pending completion of removal proceedings. The first category consists of criminal aliens, that is, aliens subject to removal for having committed a serious felony. The second category consists of arriving aliens, that is, aliens intercepted at the border seeking entry without authorization. The Supreme Court is reviewing a Ninth Circuit decision that largely nullified federal immigration statutes, providing for detention of both categories of aliens while they appeal removal orders. The Ninth Circuit imposed heavy evidentiary burdens on the government that could make it very difficult for the government to detain either category of aliens if removal proceedings last more than 6 months. In reviewing the appeals court decision, the Supreme Court will be forced to confront a basic issue. Who, that is, between Congress and the courts, holds paramount authority in establishing immigration policy? October 3rd was actually the second occasion on which the court heard oral argument in Jennings. The first argument occurred in November 2016 before an 8-justice court. Apparently, because it was split 4-4, the court failed to issue a decision last term. Instead, it ordered the case re-argued in the current term, with Justice Gorsuch now available to break any ties. The focus of oral argument shifted dramatically this time around. The focus was on constitutional issues rather than on the statutory issues that were the focus in the 2016 argument. The statutes at issue, 8 U.S.C. sections 1225 and 1226, do not provide for bond hearings for the two categories of detained aliens. Indeed, federal law categorically prohibits release of criminal aliens on bond during the pendency of removal proceedings. The Ninth Circuit concluded that denying bond hearings to detained aliens would raise serious constitutional issues, so it invoked the doctrine of constitutional avoidance to read into the statutes a requirement that a detained alien be granted a bond hearing before an impartial official at least every 6 months. The appeals court held that release is required unless the government demonstrates by clear and convincing evidence that the alien is either a flight risk or a threat to public safety. The principal problem with that ruling is that the constitutional avoidance doctrine is properly invoked only if a statute is ambiguous and the interpretation adopted is a plausible reading of the statute. But there is no language in the relevant statutes that could plausibly be read as imposing a bond hearing requirement. At the November 2016 oral argument, all the justices appeared to recognize that flaw in the Ninth Circuit's holding. Soon after that oral argument, the court ordered the parties to submit a new round of briefing, this time focusing on whether the U.S. Constitution requires bond hearings. Those briefs were submitted in February 2017, but they were insufficient to break the deadlock among the justices, and in June, the court issued an order requiring re-argument in October. The addition of Justice Gorsuch unequivocally benefits the federal government. His questions during oral argument indicated that he will vote to overturn the Ninth Circuit and to permit the government to continue to detain aliens during the pendency of removal proceedings. Indeed, Justice Gorsuch even suggested that the federal courts lack jurisdiction to hear the claims of the criminal aliens. The problem for the government is that Justice Kennedy, who in the past has voted to uphold detention of aliens, may be having second thoughts. Justice Kennedy asked several questions during oral argument that appeared to criticize the government's position. Assistant Solicitor General Malcolm Stewart, who argued for the government, conceded that there are at least some constitutional constraints on government treatment of detained aliens. For example, the government may not torture, nor may it detain aliens indefinitely while, through its own lack of diligence, it allows removal proceedings to languish for years on end. Justice Kennedy suggested, unhelpfully from the government's perspective, that those acknowledged constitutional limits could be better enforced if the court established a bright-line time limit on detention before a bond hearing is required. For example, it might establish the six-month period mandated by the Ninth Circuit. Justice Kennedy's questions suggested that the challengers may prevail 5-4 on at least some of their constitutional claims. There appeared to be no support on the court, however, for upholding the Ninth Circuit's statutory interpretation. Indeed, counsel for the aliens provided at most a half-hearted defense of the Ninth Circuit's ruling. Interestingly, counsel for the aliens devoted most of his argument to the constitutional claims of criminal aliens, while Assistant Solicitor General Stewart focused almost exclusively on the government's right to detain arriving aliens. Because the claims of those two categories of aliens raise very distinct constitutional issues, the argument of counsel did little to highlight the clash between the parties' claims. Stewart stressed, in defending the detention of arriving aliens, that the plenary authority of Congress to establish immigration policy, an authority long recognized by the Supreme Court, means that Congress could choose to deny all entry to aliens arriving at our shores. Given that power, Stewart argued, Congress certainly has the lesser power to give an arriving alien a choice. He can either return home or else submit to detention while we determine whether to admit you. While case law is on the government's side, the way that detention operates in practice undercuts the government's position. In practice, immigration officials release most arriving aliens on bond while immigration hearings are ongoing. An arriving alien is released unless an immigration official determines that the alien poses either public safety threats or a flight risk. Under those circumstances, the justices may conclude, why not require the government to provide a bond hearing before an impartial official at which the arriving alien can contest the initial adverse determination? The constitutional status of criminal aliens contrasts sharply with that of arriving aliens. Criminal aliens have already been living in the United States, and thus they are entitled to the constitutional protections afforded to all citizens and non-citizens alike who are within our borders. There obviously needs to be some time limits on their detention during the pendency of removal proceedings. But several factors cut strongly against the assertion of a right to bond hearings. First, delays in removal proceedings are almost always the product of the alien's decision to appeal from an initial adverse ruling, an appeal from a final order of removal. Criminal aliens don't really have a strong basis for objecting to continued detention when delays are self-inflicted. Second, Congress provided for mandatory detention after concluding that a large percentage of those released will commit new felonies and will never report for deportation when their appeals are finally exhausted. At the oral argument, there was a strong sentiment among the conservative justices that claims of excessive detention should be determined on a case-by-case basis, rather than establishing a bright-line rule that a bond hearing be required after 6 months. Finally, if the court rules that the Constitution requires bond hearings for either category of aliens, it will then need to address the procedural requirements imposed by the Ninth Circuit. Among other things, the Ninth Circuit held that at a bond hearing, the burden of proof falls on the government. It must establish by clear and convincing evidence that the alien is either a flight risk or a threat to public safety if released. If the October 3rd oral argument is any indication, there is no support among the justices for the Ninth Circuit's procedural requirements. The court is highly likely to hold that the burden rests on the alien. He must establish that he is neither a flight risk nor a public safety risk.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.